Hi guys, look, before we start the podcast, I just wanted to let you know that I've launched my own weekly newsletter. It's called The Fix, and every week on the newsletter, I'll be sharing my latest research, stories, and insights that cover how we can create workplaces that work for women. So please sign up through my website at michellepking.com. Thanks guys, and now let's get started with today's show.
Do not be ashamed of where you've come from. This is a lot in my country because people feel the status quo much. They feel, you know, they're embarrassed of their background. And I feel like as women, you have to be proud of your story. If you're really proud of your story, that is what is going to push others forward. They're going to relate to you. I am proud that I grew up with a single parent because I am where I am because of her. I know that she worked hard. I grew up seeing her working hard. And because of her, I know that I should work hard too. I know that I should help because I've seen her help. I'm proud of my story.
I'm Michelle King, and you are listening to the She Innovates podcast. It's a show that tackles the challenges and achievements of women in areas like innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. So on today's podcast, we're going to be doing something a little bit special. On this episode, you're going to be hearing the story of an incredible woman, Ashaba Frahida, who's an aspiring member of our She Innovates community. So some of our listeners will be aware that a few months back, we actually held a competition to try and get people to follow the podcast, and the opportunity was to be featured on the show. Well, Ashaba actually won that competition, and today she gets to tell her story. Ashaba is based all the way in Uganda, in East Africa, and she's the founder of the Bambino Life Foundation. Not only did she defy the odds by making it as a pilot in the Ugandan male-dominated aviation industry, but now she's paying this forward by uplifting the lives of young girls through education and empowerment. Hi, Ashaba.
Hello, how are you?
I'm so excited that you're joining us today, all the way from Uganda.
Thank you, Michelle.
So look, I just wanted to get started by maybe getting you to share a little bit of background on the Bambino Life Foundation. So why did you start the foundation and what does your foundation do?
My story of why I started the foundation goes from way back because I grew up with a single mother. And as a firstborn, I saw her, you know, trying so hard to make a living for all of us. And then I knew what it meant to want something and not have it. As a firstborn, I had to act old and not be selfish and be able to understand when I can't get certain things. So I grew up in that life of wanting things that I cannot have. And I could relate when I saw these young kids, let me say, in orphanages and by the streets. They wanted things, but they could not access those things. And I thought, if I can come in, if I can at least help, even if it's one child, donate things like toys and clothes, I thought it would make them happy. It would put a smile on their faces. And that's when I started up Bambino Life Foundation. We mainly focused on getting clothes from people who had them because so many people would throw away these clothes and yet there are other children who would need them. So we'd mainly collect used clothes, used toys, books, shoes, and then we'd take them to orphanages or we'd take them to streets of the children who would need them the most. And that is how Bambino came to life. But then at the same time, as a pilot, I noticed I could use my profession as a platform for the girls because in my country, girls, we are underlooked a little bit. Girls drop out of school because of early marriages. They don't believe in themselves. And in my country, once you get pregnant while still in school, that's the end of education. You know, it's like there is a taboo to getting pregnant while in school. And I knew that education is the key to everything. And I thought if we can help these girls to let them know that even if you get pregnant while still in school, the moment you finish giving birth to your child, you can always go back. You can always determine your future, because if other girls can do it like me, if I can be a pilot in a country where we're like only 20 women out of like 100 men, an entire country. We are like 20 women pilots. So I thought I would really use that as a platform to reach out to girls, to empower them and tell them that everything is possible. So I wanted to show these ladies that you can really, really work hard and you can fight for your rights, and with everything, you can make it.
Ashava, I love that. I mean, for me, you were the inspiration to all the young women that you're working with. It's so great. You know, could you maybe share some examples then of, you know, how your foundation is tackling the issue of education empowerment?
Okay, right now the foundation is focused on three programs, and one of them, our very first, is promoting our child education and empowerment. The other is creating awareness about children living with disabilities, because that is a little bit handled poorly in my country. Most people, children living with disabilities, they're going to relate it to witchcraft. Women will give birth and then they'll leave their marriages because they don't want to deal with disabilities. And then we thought we could come in and create this awareness, and we get to counsel the parents and show them that this is your child. They deserve as much love as the other child. And also, we also donate to children living in orphanages. So we have three programs that we are mainly focused on. And the program that I'm more passionate about, and I'm not supposed to pick a side, but I'm more passionate about the girl child education and empowerment, because I've seen it transforming girls and I've seen it give hope back to girls. And at the same time, I've been able to meet parents who I'll tell, I am a pilot, and they won't believe it. And they know, oh, if it is possible for her, then it is definitely possible for my daughter. And they'll look for all the money to support the child through school.
That is just so impactful, Ashava. I mean, I think the thing people sometimes miss with this work is, you know, while education has an individual impact, it also has the potential to impact entire communities as people become sort of educated, they can get jobs or employment, or they can start a business. And that leads to sort of the economic empowerment of an entire community. So I think, you know, the work that you're doing really has a far-reaching impact. So one of the things I just wanted to touch on is you mentioned, you know, the work that you do with orphanages. So could you maybe share a little bit more on that?
Yes, mainly with the children living in orphanages, we get donations from people because we try to be the middleman. There's so many people who want to donate, but they don't know where to start from. So many people don't trust charities. They think their money is going to be used, or the things they give are going to be misused. So this is where we come in. We are like the middleman. We shall get things from people who have them, clothes, books, toys, and everything. And then we shall go and outsource the orphanages that need them. Because there are so many orphanages that have international funding. But then there are also those orphanages that nobody knows about, that lack basic needs like sugar, like Vaseline, that even where the kids have to share beds and all that stuff. So this is where we come in, and we go to those orphanages that nobody knows about, and then we shall give them our help, shall continually donate to them for maybe like a period of 3 months, because what we're trying to do is reach out to as many orphanages as possible, not only one. Most of the time when we reach into an orphanage and then we help them, we connect them to an organization that is willing to support them for a long time.
In Uganda, 70% of the population who live on less than a dollar a day are young women and girls. Apart from the burden of extreme poverty, young women and girls in Uganda are also more likely to experience gender-based violence in early marriage, and that makes it harder to get an education and therefore paid employment. So Ashava, you know, with all the amazing work that you're doing, could you maybe share with our listeners, you know, what are your goals for the foundation? So what is it, you know, specifically that you're hoping to achieve with the Bambino Life Foundation?
Where I see this foundation, maybe in 3 years or 5 years to come, I want us to be able to help on a very large scale, not only around Uganda, but beyond Uganda and East Africa, because it is a different movement. And luckily, what has happened is most of the people who are joining the foundation are actually the youth. And it's really, really empowering, because you see young girls and young boys outsourcing from their own funds to try and support these causes, and they're volunteering, and then they're coming together, and you know, they're being an inspiration to the other young girls in school and young boys in school. So right now we're looking at a movement of the youth giving back to the community, of the youth changing their communities. That is what we are looking at. And we want to be able to start up different groups, not only here in Uganda, but in places and beyond. Because the girl child empowerment thing is not only in Uganda. There are so many countries that have the same problem, and people are not focused on that. People are focused on boys the most. And what we're trying to do is reach out to girls, especially in Africa, and tell them that all this is possible. Marriage doesn't have to be the end game to everything. You can always put your career, and you can always bring a change to the community. So within 5 years, we're looking to be able to help more girls, more orphanages, create more awareness about children living with disabilities. We're looking to touch so many lives with this movement.
Ashaba, your work is so inspiring, and, you know, I'm really sure that it's touched so many people's lives. I just wondered if you could maybe share with our listeners, you know, a specific example that's kind of stood out to you in terms of some of the impact of the work that you're doing.
Yes, I have many examples, but I'm going to give one specific example. It was the very, very first time I'd gone to visit an orphanage. And I found out, actually, that it was a home catering for children living with disabilities. And that is what made me add that to our mission. When I went to visit this home, I had taken clothes, books, and everything. And then I met children. And what really touched my heart is that most of the children were dropped there by their own parents. They didn't want anything to do with them just because they were disabled. One child had a condition called spinal bifida. And he was a very, very jolly boy, but he was dropped by his own father. And the father told the caretaker of the home, call me when I'm supposed to take the body. Never call me for anything. Just call me if he's dead. Then I'll come and pick up the body. You know, this really took me back. It was so sad. I couldn't understand why someone would do this. But what really hit way hard is when we kept on helping these little boys, when we went back, whenever they would see you, they would be so happy. But then there was also this young specific girl who the parent had stopped taking to school. And when we had a chance and we talked to the mother of the child, the mother was willing to now get money and take the child back to school. So I felt like that did a difference. And when I went back to do a checkup on the child, she was so happy. She was in school and, you know, she was asking me for books. She was asking me for pencils. And I was so happy because I felt like I'd helped her. The mother now knew that education is really important, even for children living with disabilities. And for me, that really changed my life, and it made me want to do more and more and more.
Wow. I mean, that is such an incredible story. And I know a lot of our listeners would want to know, you know, how they can support you. So how can they get involved? Maybe let's start with organizations. I mean, what can they do to support some of the work that you're doing?
Yes, we can partner with other organizations or other companies that are interested in the movement that we are up to, that maybe are looking forward to promoting girl child education and empowerment, because we need all the help that we can get. It is a growing organization. It is a growing foundation, and we don't even have support from our government yet. I don't really look forward to it though much, because usually when the government is supporting, they are different from what you believe in. It's too much. But when we get companies that would want to join us, volunteers, we have put up platforms, we have put up the website, whereby if someone wants to join us, if they want to partner with us, they can send us messages.
And, you know, what about individuals, Ashaba? You know, people who move by your story and they want to help you, is there a way that they can get involved?
I noticed most of the times I've had people who texted me and they wanted to donate. But then in Uganda, we don't have things like PayPal or things like that to connect to your account. So it is a little bit hard. Even the original accounts of the company's account, even if you connect it, it doesn't go through PayPal because it doesn't work in our country. So that is a little bit tricky. But there is an application. If you go on the website, you can actually donate now. It is possible to donate.
Ashaba, I am just so personally inspired by all the amazing things that you're doing. So look, before we go, I just had one more question. You know, I wanted to see what advice you had for young women in Uganda who maybe, you know, want to take on a career like yours in a male-dominated industry. I mean, what's your advice for them?
My advice to young women is do not be ashamed of where you've come from. This is a lot in my country because people feel the status quo much. They feel, you know, they're embarrassed of their background. And I feel like as women, you have to be proud of your story. If you're really proud of your story, that is what is going to push others forward. They're going to relate to you. I am proud that I grew up with a single parent because I am where I am because of her. I know that she worked hard. I grew up seeing her working hard. And because of her, I know that I should work hard too. I know that I should help because I've seen her help. I'm proud of my story. Whatever story you have, however it is, someone somewhere is going to relate to that particular story. If you went through something, tell it to someone. And if we are proud as women, if you're proud of your background, if you're proud of your story, and you know, you share it hopefully and willingly, because you know it's going to change someone's life. Be true to who you are. Don't be embarrassed. Don't compare yourself. Tell that story. You'll be surprised how many people are going to be inspired by that, because I've seen so many people have been inspired by my story. Your story is very important because people will relate to that same exact story. That is what I believe. That is what I'll tell the girls here in my country, anywhere. And don't let anybody tell you that you can't do what you want to do.
I hope you all found today's episode as inspirational as I did. I mean, to hear Ashaba's story of innovation, perseverance, and overcoming the odds whilst making a huge impact on her community is just so inspiring. I really encourage all of you to check out her work through the BambinoLifeFoundation.com and maybe see how you can get involved. So look, I think we can all agree that sleep is really important. And today on Fairy Godboss Insights, we are going to be learning about an interesting new study in Europe, which found that men and women both sleep better in gender-equal societies. The research involved over 14,000 couples from 23 European countries, and in 22 out of the 23 countries, more women than men reported that they were sleep-deprived. Women generally viewed the nighttime as an extension of their daytime obligations to family, as opposed to a period of relaxation and restoration. In the countries that empower women and elevate their status, both women and men reported sound asleep. One possible explanation for this is that women in these countries have more help with domestic responsibilities from their spouses. And we touched on this a bit last week when we unpacked the issue of mental load and the challenge that this poses for working mothers. This study argues that the gender gap in restless sleep is significantly reduced among those living in more gender-equal countries. So if you're interested to learn more, please check out fairygodboss.com. So I really hope you all enjoyed our episode today. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, I hope that you're having a wonderful summer break and catching up on all the She Innovates episodes that you might have missed. So thanks again for listening, everybody, and I'll catch you guys again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.